Vice President Joe Biden is scheduled to speak at UW-Eau Claire this morning, one day after Republican vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan held a town hall meeting in De Pere. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, September 13th. We will talk about the presidential campaign trail that is moving through Wisconsin this week. President Obama and Mitt Romney have also launched ads in Wisconsin this week. And we'll wonder what you think about Wisconsin being a battleground state once again, apparently. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We will also get reaction from both of our guests this hour. We will have two guests in each half hour on the response of the U.S. to the violence at the U.S. Embassies and consulates in Libya and elsewhere. This violence is spreading this morning, as we heard in NPR News. We will also talk about how this issue is playing in the presidential race. And we'll welcome your input on that as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our first guest is John McAdams, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your reaction to what's happening right now? This violence is spreading. It looks like there's rioting going on in other cities in front of other U.S. embassies, all apparently over this film considered anti-Islam. What's your general reaction to what's going on?
Well, it's very interesting. I think there's a huge irony here. I'm having trouble from press reports figuring out exactly what the film is. If it was made by a fellow who threatened to burn the Quran, we have a huge irony because people who threaten to burn the Quran are pretty much yahoos. But in a hugely ironic fact, their yahoo-ish threats have in effect effectively worked to give Islam a black eye. I mean, you know, sometimes smart and shrewd people manage to discredit their enemies, but sometimes really stupid people manage to too. What's really important is not so much that you've got some people rioting; it's the responses of the governments that are important. For example, initially in Egypt, people were asking, "Well, where were the security forces when rioters breached the U.S. embassy and took down the U.S. flag?" I did read a report last night, however, that said yesterday there was an anti-American riot and the Egyptian security forces pretty much quelled it. And the report also said that some of the people who'd breached the U.S. embassy had been arrested. If Egyptian authorities, if the Egyptian government is going to take at least a moderately hard line and try to protect American property, I mean, embassies in international law, embassies are sacrosanct. You don't touch embassies. That is good news indeed. In Libya, the Libyan government has apologized to the U.S. The problem in Libya is a little different. The government doesn't really control things that much in Libya. So the fact that you've got some riots is less important than what are these governments doing.
Let's talk a little bit about the response in the U.S. and how this became political very quickly when Mitt Romney criticized the administration on its response to the attacks.
The administration was wrong to stand by a statement sympathizing with those who had breached our embassy in Egypt instead of condemning their actions. It's never too early for the United States government to condemn attacks on Americans and to defend our values.
Well, apparently the embassy, though, in Egypt did issue a statement that was against this film and saying that we shouldn't, we should respect people's religious beliefs. But that was before the violence or the killings in Libya had actually happened.
Well, actually more complicated. Then they tweeted a follow-up after the violence began. I'm not aware there were any killings in Egypt. The killings were in Libya.
Right.
But apparently the U.S. Embassy in Egypt tweeted a follow-up after the violence had started saying they stood by the statement. That was a very bad statement. I'm not sure exactly what you make of it, though. That was, after all, the embassy, and embassies sometimes say stupid things just like, any group of people may say stupid things.
So it's not necessarily President Obama's fault that a diplomat at the in the embassy in Egypt tweeted this?
Not necessarily, although although the embassy tweeted it, then it reiterated its support for it, then the tweets were deleted from Twitter. The conservative rap against Obama is that he has been too conciliatory, indeed has tried to appease opinion in the Arab and more broadly in the Islamic world. And conservatives are saying, look, this is what we get. It hasn't been very, very effective. His attitude when he first took office seemed to be, well, if there's hard feeling between the U.S. And the Muslim world, it's to a large extent our fault because we've been arrogant, we've intervened, we fail to understand them, and Republicans at least are saying, okay, that hasn't worked. Interestingly, there was a Zogby poll out last year that showed that between 2008 and 2009, that is before and after the Obama election, attitudes in Arab countries toward the U.S. markedly improved. But then by 2011, they had reverted to being more unfavorable than they were in 2008. And this is a poll from Zogby. Zogby, by the way, a pollster of Arab heritage. There is a conservative rap against what Obama's been doing.
There's also a rap against Governor Romney for, some are saying, turning an international crisis, politicizing it way too fast and stumbling on the facts as he did it.
Well, interestingly, the media never seemed to object when George W. Bush was being attacked for and being criticized sometimes in very harsh terms for the war in Iraq. There's actually, by the way, a tape, one of these open mic things of reporters before a Romney news conference, literally coordinating their questions, literally conspiring with each other about how they're going to ask Romney hostile questions.
You don't think that he stumbled on the facts or made a mistake when he made those comments?
Well, I'd have to know what facts he stumbled on. His general theme was that Obama has been has generally pursued a policy of appeasement toward radical Islam. Certainly, if you look at things like the nuclear program in Iran, the administration appears to have been pretty ineffective. Now, would a Republican administration have been more effective? Who knows? But just in terms of results, we really have achieved essentially nothing in impeding their nuclear program.
How do you see this this crisis playing into the presidential race right now?
Interestingly, I'd be surprised if it has a large effect. Traditionally, political scientists talk about something called the rally around the flag effect. That is to say, when there's an international crisis, people tend to rally around the president. That hasn't been tested very well in a clearly partisan environment. That is, where you have Democrats saying one thing and Republicans saying something else. It's also the case that the last rally event, uptick in Obama's approval after the killing of Osama bin Laden was only 5 percentage points, and it was very, very temporary. So I don't expect Obama to get a big advantage out of this. It's not clear to me that Romney's going to get much of an advantage either.
Well, we'll take a short pause, and then we will talk about what our scheduled topic was going to be, and we will ask you your thoughts and questions about the presidential race in Wisconsin this week. It looks like Wisconsin is a battleground state after all, with lots of attention this week. Vice President Joe Biden will be speaking at UW-Eau Claire this morning. Republican vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan held a town hall meeting in the Green Bay area yesterday. There are ads that have started up in Wisconsin from the presidential campaigns. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Quick check of the weather. It's going to be cloudy with occasional rain in southern and eastern Wisconsin, turning mostly sunny in the north and west. It's going to be cool today with highs mainly in the 60s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, September 13th. Well, Vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan was in the Green Bay area yesterday for a rally, and let's take a listen to some of what he had to say.
Mitt Romney has already put out more details, more solutions on how to get this economy turned around and how to get this debt and deficit under control than this sitting president of the United States has. Now, we've put it right out there on paper. We've said, here is our solutions.
We are talking about the role Wisconsin is playing in the presidential election and talking some about the visits of the vice presidential candidates this week with John McAdams, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University in this half hour. And coming up after 7:30, we'll get another perspective. Ed Garvey, Madison attorney, will be with us after 7:30. So, Professor McAdams, First, why do you suppose Wisconsin is now, I guess, heating up in the presidential campaigns? We are getting lots of attention from at least the vice presidential candidates this week, and the presidential candidates have released ads in Wisconsin this week.
Well, we are a battleground state. Public polling shows Wisconsin leaning toward Obama, although not by a very, very wide margin. Wisconsin lurched toward Obama almost to a stunning degree in 2008. He won the state by 14 percentage points. He's not ahead by that many percent anywhere near that. I think the Marquette poll had him ahead 3%. Now, here's the key thing. The problem with the public polling is that sometimes public polling is sparse in individual states, and there are no recent public polls in Wisconsin. Sometimes the campaigns have their own internal polling, and they spend a lot of money on internal polling. Sometimes you have to figure out what their internal polling is showing from the body language. What are they doing? And apparently the campaigns feel that Wisconsin is in play. I think both campaigns would concede that Obama's ahead here, but not by so much that the state's not in play. Another factor appears to be that the Romney campaign looks to have given up on Michigan and Pennsylvania. A little buzz, a little talk that either or both of them might have been in play, but I think that was never very likely. And it appears, for example, there's a news report that the Romney campaign pulled its advertising out of Michigan. Now, if you're the campaigns and you're looking at the Electoral College map, that leaves a relatively few states that will decide the outcome of the election. And the Romney campaign, I'd say, clearly feels it has a decent shot at getting Wisconsin, much better than Michigan or Pennsylvania. So here they come.
Yes.
I'm actually looking for the presidential candidates to show up. Vice presidential candidates are much less important. They're pretty much a form of surrogate.
Sure. But Paul Ryan from Wisconsin, is that going to influence voters here in Wisconsin that he's our hometown boy?
That's almost like reading the tea leaves. Not very much. I can assure you, not very much. Maybe by a percentage point or two, although a percentage point or two could swing Wisconsin if Wisconsin really is in play.
You know, Mitt Romney's campaign did release an ad earlier this week, and I know President Obama is launching a couple of ads in Wisconsin, I think, today. But let's take a listen to part of the new Mitt Romney ad.
Here in Wisconsin, we're not better off under President Obama. There's a prairie fire of debt that grows over $3 billion each day. The Romney plan for Wisconsin: cut government spending, eliminate the deficit, create over 240,000 new jobs for Wisconsin.
So, and that was part of what Paul Ryan was saying in his town hall meeting yesterday, too. Is that going to resonate in Wisconsin, that message?
Well, that's an exceedingly interesting question. Clearly, the Romney campaign has long and continues to believe that pounding Obama on the economy is far and away the best strategy. Any other policy, I think, for Romney's advisors almost seems to be a distraction. So will it work? You know, I don't know. We'll know in November. Let's just say that the Romney campaign has been and continues to stress the economy and to pound Obama on the economy.
Yeah. Do you think, from your observation, is Wisconsin better off, worse off than 4 years ago based on President Obama's policies?
Good heavens. there's so many indicators and so many opportunities for talking points one way or another. There are plenty of Democratic talking points and plenty of Republican talking points. If you own stock, for example, in Wisconsin, you're almost certainly way better off because the stock market is up. Unemployment is higher. I know in the nation as a whole, I think in Wisconsin, than it was when Obama took office, although lower than the depth of the recession, which was shortly after Obama took office. So it depends on what indicators you look at. Obviously, in terms of the national debt, we're much worse off. So let's just say that kind of comparison is a sort of talking points rich environment. Anyone can pick out their favorite talking points and push them.
Right. The ad itself was something that was entitled "Wisconsin is not better off." So that was the title of Mitt Romney's ad. Paul Ryan's also running ads for his congressional race in the first district. Does he need to do that?
That's an interesting question. One theory is essentially those are presidential ads by proxy. That is to say, he has money he's raised that he can spend on his congressional race. So why not spend it? And if it creates some favorable opinions toward Ryan and gets votes for the Ryan Romney ticket, all well and good.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with John McAdams, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. We are talking about issues in the presidential race and the focus on Wisconsin this week from the presidential campaigns with Paul Ryan yesterday in the Green Bay area. Vice President Joe Biden had been in the Green Bay area just a couple of weeks ago, too, and Vice President Joe Biden scheduled to speak at UW Eau Claire this morning. So is any thoughts on Vice President Joe Biden's visit to Eau Claire tomorrow? Apparently, he's been here now twice in just a few weeks. The Obama campaign is also taking the state seriously, Professor McAdams?
Generally, when one campaign takes a state seriously, the other campaign does too, quite simply because they're probably looking at similar internal polling. Again, I'll be more impressed that both campaigns are taking the state seriously when Obama and when Romney show up. These visits have multiple purposes. You want to get free local media, so-called earned media. Sometimes candidates, or more often, they're surrogates. We're talking about presidential relatives, we're talking about presidential wives, we're talking about vice presidential candidates. A large part of their role is simply to buck up the troops, simply to talk to audiences of loyal supporters and to encourage those loyal supporters and to shake hands with, to meet a large number of, say, campaign volunteers. So, again, the reports I'm seeing in the press say that Wisconsin is now considered a possible swing state, and the campaigns are interested. But I am I'll take that much more seriously when Obama and Romney show up.
Yeah. Well, do you expect that we're still going to see a big focus on the economy, or a return to the big focus on the economy, or will foreign policy issues based on what's happening overseas right now become a much bigger issue in this campaign?
To be honest, I think both campaigns are a little bit uncomfortable with foreign policy. Number one, the Afghan war is not very popular. Can the Republicans exploit that? Clint Eastwood, remember the Republican convention, called for immediate withdrawal. Given that Republicans' instincts are hawkish, it's very hard for them to do anything like that. On the other hand, the Afghan war is clearly Obama's war. Remember, he didn't want to fight the war in Iraq. He wanted to fight the war in Afghanistan. He said that was the one that was really important. So both campaigns are... they're sort of in a sticky place, certainly about the Afghan war, and to a certain extent on other foreign policy issues, too. I do think the Romney campaign really feels most comfortable and is most likely going to push the economy. I think the Obama campaign is going to use its usual themes. Romney is this rich, fat cat. He doesn't care about you or like you. I really have trouble seeing either campaign pivoting heavily to another set of issues.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us, John McAdams from Marquette University. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
The United States condemns in the strongest terms this outrageous and shocking attack. We're working with the government of Libya to secure our diplomats. I've also directed my administration to increase our security at diplomatic posts around the world. And make no mistake, we will work with the Libyan government to bring to justice the killers who attacked our people.
That's President Obama yesterday responding to the attack at the consulate in Libya, in the killing of the U.S. ambassador in Libya and three others. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, September 13th. We're talking about the U.S. response to the violence in that region and how it's playing out in the presidential race. We're also talking about how the presidential candidates and vice presidential candidates are paying a lot of attention to Wisconsin this week, with Paul Ryan in the state yesterday and Vice President Joe Biden scheduled to speak at a rally at UW Eau Claire this morning. Joining us now is Ed Garvey, senior partner at the law firm of Garvey, McNeil & Associates, publisher of FightingBob.com, a frequent guest on our Friday Weekend Review programs. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Joy.
So, speaking of FightingBob.com, you do have your Fighting Bob Fest coming up this
yes,
weekend.
Yes, indeed. Friday night, we start out at the Goodman's Center, the community center. Saturday, we go all day at the Alliance Center. We have a whole variety of speakers. It's going to be quite an event. I think it's our best lineup so far.
And people like Bill McKibben and Phil Donahue and presidential candidate Jill Stein, many others, will be on hand.
Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire, and I think Buddy Romer brings an interesting perspective, as well as Jill Stein, who's running as the Green candidate for president. So we're not just categorized as Democrats or progressives. It's a variety of people who come to Fighting Bob Fest.
You call Bob Fest the home for the politically homeless.
That's right. They're not necessarily welcomed in the Democratic Party, and they certainly aren't welcome in the Republican Party. So we just have our own good time.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what is your reaction to the U.S. response to this crisis going on in the Middle East and the horrific murders in Libya.
Well, I think about that TV spot from the last presidential campaign with a phone ringing at 3 in the morning or something. Who do you want answering that phone? I mean, yesterday the president responded as a responsible commander-in-chief to a tragic situation. And before Romney could get his plane down on the runway, he was condemning the president for his statement, as well as the embassy staff. when you get Peggy Noonan and the Wall Street Journal and people like that condemning Mitt Romney at this point in the campaign, you see what Romney is really kind of a desperate candidate trying to find something that will stop the slide from him to Obama, because I think Obama is opening up a bit of a lead. So I think that the president responded as a sober commander-in-chief, and Romney acted like a politician who's lost his grip.
Well, why do you say Romney acts like a politician who lost his grip when he says that we shouldn't be apologizing for anything, and that we should certainly not be, as the U.S. Embassy in Egypt apparently did, issuing statements on religious tolerance when this is going on?
Well, yeah, foreign policy is a very complicated matter, and Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan have no experience whatsoever, and they showed it in the way they responded to this crisis. I mean, when the United States is attacked, I mean, whether you're talking about a major power or a group of people in a country like Libya, that's the time for all Americans to kind of gather together and say, we need one response. There's only one president at a time. And this president right now is Barack Obama. And for anyone to question his authority or how he's operating before they even know the facts shows that Mitt Romney is just acting irresponsibly.
Well, yesterday in the Green Bay area, Paul Ryan had a town hall meeting in De Pere, and he said President Obama's defense spending cuts, quote, breed weakness, and that's something the U.S. cannot afford after the attack on the U.S. consulate in Libya that killed four Americans. Your reaction to
that?
Well,
he also said it encourages adventurism, as if one knows what that means. But Ryan does exactly what Romney asks him to do. I mean, so Romney said, Ryan last week said he was in favor of legalizing marijuana for medicinal purposes. And then when the Romney campaign heard about that, they said, no, he isn't. And Ryan said, no, I'm not. And so if Romney makes a mistake on foreign policy, Ryan says, me too. When they talk about sequestering the Defense Department money, which will cut all of spending throughout state government, or the federal government, Ryan voted for it. So like John Kerry 4 years ago, he was for it before he was against it. And the fact is that it's irresponsible, I think, for Ryan to constantly look at these matters and say, well, if my leader, Mitt Romney, doesn't agree with it, then I go back on what I said to the people of Wisconsin when I was in Congress.
Do you suspect that we are going to be talking foreign policy on the campaign trail more than we have?
Oh, I think so. Although I'm sure that Romney right now is just trying to figure out what he can come up with next. I mean, maybe dancing elephants or a circus routine of some kind. They are desperate to get off of this topic, I'm sure, because you've got all the Republicans condemning Romney. This, you know, the president could just sit by and watch as Romney self-destructed. So I've never seen anything quite like this in a presidential race this late in the game. I mean, occasionally people are comparing this to John McCain when the Lehman Brothers collapse occurred and he has had nothing to say. But I think there has to be, you know, when you think about the relationship we have with Israel, the relationship with Israel, with Palestine, with Cairo, with Tunisia, and so on and so forth. These are really complex matters, and no one that I know of has any easy answers except John Bolton, who thinks he has an answer to everything, or John McCain, who says, bomb everybody. So I think it'll definitely be a new issue.
Well, Mitt Romney is now running ads in Wisconsin, and in fact has a Wisconsin-specific ad asking Wisconsinites if they're better off or not, presuming that we are not.
And well, I'd like to go with him down to Janesville and ask those UAW workers, are they better off or not? Or what did they think about their congressman who did nothing to help keep those plants open? And then when it's all over, he says he condemns candidate Obama, who wasn't even president at the time, for the plants shutting down. And he's against the auto deal in the first place. So are you better off is an interesting question. I think undoubtedly most people are better off. Certainly the country is better off. But the question you really have to ask is, what in the world are the plans that Romney has or Ryan has to make this a better country? What are they going to do about the income gap? What are they going to do about taxes? What are they going to do about the wealthy really dominating our politics to a point where I think there's a serious question of whether we have a democracy?
Well, Paul Ryan at the town hall yesterday was saying, well, let's take a listen again to what he had to say. We'll take a quick clip here.
Mitt Romney has already put out more details, more solutions on how to get this economy turned around and how to get this debt and deficit under control than the sitting president of the United States has. Now, we put it right out there on paper. We've said, here is our solutions.
So Ryan says that they have put out their solutions and the president hasn't.
I think a grammarian would be troubled by that. Here is our solutions. But I'd like to know what their solutions are and see them in detail. When you get to the nominee of a major party who gives a speech during a war and fails to mention that war in that speech, so that, again, the Republicans and independents are looking at Romney and saying, you're not up to the task. Now, I mean, there's something wrong here. I mean, here's a guy who straps his dog to the roof of his car, who has an elevator for his automobiles. And as Governor Granholm said wonderfully at that Democratic convention, for Romney, his cars get the elevators and the workers get the shaft. And I think that's exactly what we're looking at. But I haven't seen anything coming from Paul Ryan as an independent thinker about anything.
Well, we have Vice President Joe Biden coming to Wisconsin today. He's going to be speaking at a rally at UW Eau Claire. He was also in the Green Bay area a little while ago. What do you want to hear from Joe today?
Well, obviously, he's going to have to say something about what's going on in the Middle East and in Northern Africa. But I think he will probably walk very, very carefully around that minefield because the facts are not all in yet. We don't know who attacked and why did they attack and how do you get to the bottom of it? So I suspect he's going to talk more about the income gap that the U.S. Census Bureau came out with to show that we're being more and more divided by economics. I think he'll talk about teachers and evaluations and money going into schools. I think he'll talk about what they feel are the important issues when it comes to the economy. The minimum wage should be increased. You know, there are all sorts of issues that are out there, but not the ones that are defined by Paul Ryan, who still has this crush on Ayn Rand, or at least it's subsiding somewhat now that he's found out that she's an atheist. but he had, like, a junior high school crush on her. Every staff person had to read Atlas Shrugged. I mean, goodness, their sales of Atlas Shrugged must have tripled by just the number of staff people he has.
We're talking with Ed Garvey. He is senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil & Associates, publisher of FightingBob.com, organizer of Fighting Bob Fest, which starts, everything gets underway Friday night and then it's all day Saturday.
That's right.
We will post a schedule of all of the Fighting Bob Fest activities on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page.
And remember, admission is free. We just charge you to get out.
Yeah, and you will be showing, is Phil Donahue going to be in town on Friday? He's going to be showing his documentary?
Yes.
It was an anti-war documentary.
Yeah, we're talking about war because we have Norm Solomon who also did a documentary on how easy it is for nations to get into war. And Phil Donahue, who is famous for his opposition to the Vietnam War. And what both of them are asking is that we look at the consequences of war before we go sailing into a new one. Usually the people who are most in favor of war are the ones who never serve in those wars. And it's time that we understand that those who do suffer in a war are our young people who are sent over there because they don't have alternatives for their careers. And so that's going to be a fascinating subject tonight, Friday night.
Yeah. Speaking of that, do you think that candidate Mitt Romney was talking tough about Iran during the Republican convention?
Well, here's this guy, Adelson, who is going to apparently put in $200 million into the presidential race, whose number one priority is to bomb Iran. Now think about this just for a second. How can we have a billionaire dictating that we're going to go to war based on his understanding of the situation? For Romney to not just tell him to take his money and go away, I think is an outrage. But it's an easy target to say, let's bomb Iran. Well, then what? I mean, look what happened with the same group of advisors around Bush who said, well, just going into Iraq isn't going to be that big a deal and it's not going to cost that much. We're going to get their oil. Everything's going to be fine. Goodness gracious. Thousands of deaths since then and thousands of serious injuries. To be talking about going to war with Iran is the most irresponsible thing I can imagine at this point.
We're talking with Ed Garvey, and you can too. We're talking about issues in the presidential race with the attention that is focused on Wisconsin this week with the vice presidential candidates here, Joe Biden today, Paul Ryan yesterday. We're also talking about the U.S. response and Mitt Romney's response to the violence in the Middle East and in Northern Africa and the murder of four Americans in Libya. And we're welcoming your questions and reactions too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly sunny in northern and western Wisconsin, with more clouds and occasional rain in the southern and eastern parts of the state. Highs today only in the 60s. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. There will be more talk on Kathleen Dunn's program after 9 o'clock about the situation in Libya. Protesters led assaults on U.S. diplomatic missions in Libya and Egypt on Tuesday, killing U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens. After 9, Kathleen and her guests will discuss how government should respond to hardline Islamic militancy, as well as how the violence is playing into electoral politics. We're talking some about that during this half hour with Ed Garvey, who is senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil and Associates. And that violence is spreading. It's not those attacks occurred on Tuesday, but now protesters have entered the compound of the embassy in Yemen. There's violence in Tunisia and another of the U.S. embassies in that region. Ed, so. This is spreading.
No doubt, the way the revolution spread during the spring, the Arab Spring. I mean, things have been suppressed for a long time. I mean, Mubarak was the dictator for many, many decades. People were stuck in place. Now, all of a sudden, there's a totally new approach. What does this mean in terms of our relationship with Israel? What is Israel going to do when they look at not just Iran, but also what's going on with the American embassies in that area? It's a very complex subject that requires more than a politician's response. So I think that the best minds that we have in this country ought to be summoned to Washington to say, all right, what are we going to do here? Because this is going to make the difference for the next three decades, probably.
Your bottom line, though, is you think that this definitely is casting President Obama in a far superior light than Mitt Romney.
Yeah, he's a sober person who has a grasp of the issues, and he's got some bright people around him, and he doesn't jump into a situation and start flailing around. I mean, Romney reminds me of somebody that you dump into a swimming pool and see how they can swim. I mean, all of a sudden there he is, and he's not making any sense.
Well, let's take calls. We'll try to get as many as we can in for Ed Garvey. Ken in La Crosse is with us first. Hi, Ken.
Hi there.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Ed, obviously you're sympathetic to the Democratic Union. If you're going to be talking about the Adelson support, what is your view on the Soros support for Obama?
I'm opposed to it. I'm opposed to big money and all campaigns, and I think that we started something called the Tin Cup Brigade, suggested by Gaylord Nelson when I talked to him. We said, let's put down the tin cup and stop begging for money and start running on issues, and people will get back into the political system. So I'm opposed to Soros' involvement. I'm opposed to Adelson and all the rest of them.
Yeah, you'll be addressing money in politics this weekend, I assume.
Oh, indeed. Mike McCabe will, of course, lead the way, but we have several other speakers who will talk about it, because this is the key issue right now, because we're no longer controlling our democracy. We have multi-billionaires who are telling us what our policies are going to be, and I think that's the end of democracy.
You said that you see Mitt Romney's campaign collapsing. John McAdams, in our first half hour, was saying, at least in Wisconsin, how tight the polling has been. Do you see Obama running away with this, Ed?
I see Obama winning. I don't know if he's going to run away with it, but I think the gap is widening. And the fact is that Ryan can't get away from Romney. I mean, Romney is really something. I mean, I've never seen a candidate quite this incompetent. And Ryan is right there with him. So Ryan's saying, vote for me because this buffoon has confidence in me. And I think what the people of Wisconsin will say is, wait a second, let's look at what happens in the state of Wisconsin. What has Ryan done for the people of his district? What have Romney and Ryan suggested in terms of the economy? What have they suggested in terms of minimum wage? What have they suggested about health care? I mean, Romney is now saying, well, wait a second, maybe part of Obamacare is okay, for example. So as John Kerry told him at the Democratic convention, I thought was wonderful, said, you better terminate your or come to a conclusion of the debate that you're having with yourself before you take on Obama.
Well, Paul Ryan is also running ads in his own first district. What do you think that means?
Well, I think they're really worried because that district has been so gerrymandered that if he can't get 60% of the vote, there's something fundamentally wrong because it means the Republicans are staying home in large numbers. So if he's running ads in the first congressional district, I would say that the Republicans are taking a wild gamble that they hope that they can make inroads in Wisconsin. I don't think that Romney's going to carry Wisconsin because of Paul Ryan, who is probably engaged in another marathon.
What do you mean?
Well, I remember he said he ran a marathon under 3 hours.
He had to take that one back.
He had to take that one back, too. He must have been thinking about his position on marijuana.
Let's take a quick listen to, this is one of two new President Obama ads that will be running in Wisconsin, I think, starting today.
Governor Romney's plan would cut taxes for the folks at the very top, roll back regulations on big banks, and he says that if we do, our economy will grow and everyone will benefit. But you know what? We tried that top-down approach. It's what caused the mess in the first place.
So, does that resonate in Wisconsin, Ed?
Well, it changed my view. I'm going to support Romney. I think that it will resonate because most people in Wisconsin think that there should be a fair distribution of income in the state, not just kind of focus on a few, and that the tax system ought to be fair. And what Romney... It's almost unbelievable. And Tommy Thompson as well, they're refusing to show us their income taxes. Why? Is it because the tax plans that they're supporting would just benefit them and their wealthy colleagues? I think so, but we don't know. I think Romney should be forced to show us his income taxes before anybody listens to his tax plan.
Yeah, and you mentioned briefly before yesterday, I think this report came out showing that wages and income for middle class and lower income are going down, continue to go down, and the income for upper levels continues to go up.
Exactly.
And this will be one of the topics that you'll be talking at Fighting Bob Fest.
Fighting Bob Fest, Friday night at the Goodman Center and Saturday at the Alliance Center.
And for more information, fightingbobfest.com.
.org.
.org. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have known that. .org. And we have linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, the agenda, the schedule of speakers and such. Ed, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you.
Ed Garvey is senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil & Associates, publisher of fightingbob.com. And he is also a frequent guest on our Friday Week in Review programs. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Amanda Magnus for on-air production and to Cynthia Schuster for on-air production as well. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.